This radio show is a paid placement.
Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace. Teach me to know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening to the program. Hope everything is going well around your house today, or if you're driving in the car, wherever you are. Hope things are going well with you. We're off to a warm and muggy day. If you like the warm muggies, you're in for a treat today, because I think we've got another one coming. God gives us this day and every day to live and to serve Him and to glorify Him. That's what life is all about. And we encourage you to be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning. We meet at 9:30 for Bible study, at 10:30 for our worship assembly, and again at 5 this afternoon for a worship assembly. And we'd love for you to come and be with us. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens area, come by and see us at 9:30. Or you can check us out on Facebook. Our services are live streamed on Facebook and from our website. You can go to eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and click on the media tab and the live streaming there to sort of visit us online if you'd like to. But we'd love for you to come and physically be with us as we worship our God and glorify the one who's given us this day and every day. You know, in our country, we've been preoccupied the last couple of years with a couple of things between the COVID pandemic and some of the social unrest in our country. It's taken an awful lot of our attention. And a lot of that social unrest really is a leftover, if you will, from the time of slavery in the United States, and even before the founding of the United States. Most people nowadays, of course, view slavery as a really negative thing. And in fact, it should be viewed that way. The Bible, when you come to talking about slavery, of course, it takes a fairly dim view of it. It does give instructions in the New Testament for how masters of slaves are to behave better, how slaves can deal with their situation. But one of the things that is interesting to me in all of this is that there's a kind of slavery that, of course, still exists today. It's a slavery of the soul, a slavery of the spirit. And seems like very few people are very concerned about that. And it's the kind of slavery that will lead us to eternal destruction, frankly, and it makes our lives miserable here on earth. So it's a kind of thing that we need to be considering, how we can get liberated from slavery of our souls. And a lot of things in this world enslave us. We're going to start this morning by looking at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. Peter's talking about some false teachers, and he says they promise them liberty. So the false teachers are promising liberty while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Interesting passage. Whoever or whatever overcomes you and masters you, that's what's going to bring you into bondage. So you can be slaves of a slave of a person, or maybe a lot of different things. We'll talk about some of them in a minute. The contemporary English version in that passage says they promise freedom to everyone, but they are merely slaves of filthy living, because people are slaves of whatever controls them. You know, we have a lot of people in the world today that are slaves of filthy living, and they're bound by it. Their lives are being ruined by it, and their eternities are being put at risk by it. You know, so here's something that we ought to be concerned about. Here's something that all of us should be concerned about. As far as how can we get liberated from this? How can we find freedom from this slavery of the soul? And as I said, there are a lot of things that enslave us. Various addictions, obviously, and we'll talk about some of those. There's fear, there's worry, there's guilt, there's anger and bitterness. Religious traditions can enslave us. Materialism can enslave us. Desire for wealth or covetousness or the debt that some people incur, that it kind of ruins their whole lives. So there are a lot of things in this world that can enslave us. And the Bible has a good bit to say about these kinds of enslaving things. And I want to talk with you about those today so that we might find how to be liberated, because we want to be free. I'm hearing an awful lot about liberty nowadays, aren't you? We hear a lot about freedom and everybody wanting freedom. Well, do we want freedom for our souls? Do we really want it? And some of the things I'll be talking about this morning do intersect with what's going on in our culture today regarding freedom and liberty, and I hope you'll see that and understand it. But the main thing is, for our spiritual well-being, personally, we need freedom. We need spiritual freedom from the bondage that Satan would have us be in. So materialism is one of those things that can enslave us, and certainly in our country we have a vast problem with materialism. In Matthew chapter 19, there's a pretty well-known story. It's recorded in one way or another in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in Matthew chapter 19, you have, starting in verse 16, this account. It says, "Behold, one came and said to Jesus, 'Good teacher, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments.'" I just love Jesus' response to this, right? So this guy comes and says, "Good teacher." Jesus points out to him, you know, nobody's really good completely but God. What is Jesus doing there? He's saying, you know what? You're calling upon me as God, which is, again, proper, because Jesus, in fact, is God in the flesh. So he points that out to him. But then he just tells him, well, you keep the commandments. This man was a Jew. He's living under the Old Testament, so his obligation would be to keep the commandments of the old law. Jesus tells him, well, that's what you need to do right now. And so, but he says to him, he says, "Which ones? Which commandments?" Jesus said, "Well, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" So if he was doing all of those things, this guy was a pretty good guy. He was doing much of what apparently the old law required of him. But Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's a man who was enslaved. He was enslaved, you know, not to committing murder. He wasn't committing murder because he said he was keeping the commandment not to murder. He wasn't committed a slave to adultery or sexual immorality because he said he wasn't doing that. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't a liar. None of those things. He was doing all of those commandments from the old law, but he was a slave to something, and that slave was his possessions, his material goods. And so today we have a lot of folks that are so enslaved to materialism, and that comes in a number of different forms. Obviously, you can just have this great desire for money, this love for wealth. The Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain that we can carry nothing out. So you do realize that, right? That you didn't bring anything into this world, and you're not going to carry anything out of this world. So however much money you make, and however much money you have, and however many material things you accumulate, you're not taking that with you. And I think a lot of people feel like they may somehow take it with them, but that's not going to happen. So what Paul says is that having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he goes on to say that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So the problem is this love for material things. Notice that he says that those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. You're trapped. You're bound up. It's a kind of slavery, if you will. You know, and the thing about money is, money is a great servant, but it's a poor master. And if we allow money to be our master, we're going to live probably a pretty miserable life. It was Francis Bacon who said, "The covetous man cannot so properly be said as to possess wealth as that may be said that it may be said to possess him." And I think that's true. A lot of people are possessed by their possessions. So we have this problem with desiring money and having that sort of run our lives, and we can't do anything without being focused on that, and it binds us up. We covet material things, and that's not what life is all about. We think it is, but it's not. Jesus, again, taught about that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Somebody from the crowd said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide an inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" So he said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." See, your life's not all about what you have. Again, a lot of people think it is. From that point, Jesus went on and spoke a parable. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' He said, 'I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods.'" So here's a man of great wealth, has so much he doesn't know what to do with it all. And as he does that, Jesus says, "You know, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will these things be?" We need to understand that material wealth doesn't last. We can't take it with us, and there's no reason to hoard it in this life. You can't be a slave to it. We understand there's a need to, you know, have money for the future. If you want a retirement and whatever, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about somebody who's enslaved to money, and everything that they do in life is about money and material things and having things. And a lot of people fall into that category, I'm afraid, in our world today. And Jesus saw it in the world that he lived in as well, and he warns us against it. When we're consumed with, you know, what our net worth is, how much we've got in comparison to how much somebody else has, when we evaluate people based on their net worth and their possessions, you know, you have to ask the question, who owns who? Do we own things, or do the things own us? And I think there are people in this world who, if they answer that honestly, they just have to say, well, you know, things own us. And the other end of this is when people don't have material things, but they go into debt to get them. And that debt itself becomes enslaving. And it's a sort of related problem to this whole idea of materialism being enslaving. In Proverbs 22 and verse 7, the wise man there says that the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. Yeah, that's really true, isn't it? It's, you know, we're living in a time when you can get money pretty easily. You can get loans and this and that. And we've had a number of financial and economic crises in our culture, in our society, because of easy credit and people going way, way more into debt than they could possibly pay back. And so it ruins their lives. It ruins whole economies. You know, we've had all sorts of troubles with that. And if world keeps on turning like it's turning, we'll probably have more troubles with it again, both personally and as a society. The borrower is a servant or a slave to the lender. You see the problem there? We talk about, well, we want liberty. We don't want to be enslaved. But if you get a mountain of debt on top of you, you become a slave to that. It just controls your whole life. So we're talking about this morning, we're talking about things that enslave us, even today, and that enslave our souls. And that's really a problem in our world today. And one of the things that enslaves us is materialism. There are all kinds of addictions that enslave as well. You can think of, obviously, drug addictions or addictions to alcohol. But people are addicted to a lot of other things as well. You got some people that are addicted to sports. You have, you know, some people that are, as we said already, addicted to money. You have some people that are addicted to food. Some people that are addicted to sexual pleasure, pornography, you know, just all sorts of things you can think of that people just sell their souls to. They're completely controlled by this thing, whatever it is. And we started in that verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. I want to read part of that to you. Back up to 2 Peter 2 and verse 17 and read this out of the New International Version. It says about these false teachers that they're like springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. So these false teachers, you know, encourage people to go back into the world, to enjoy the things of the world, quote unquote, these lustful desires that are all around us. And it could be just any number of the things that I just mentioned. And it goes on to say about them that they promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever he has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and again are entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. Notice that phraseology, they're entangled in it. They're overcome by it. What's that describing? People who are slaves, they're slaves to whatever has mastered them, as the text said. And that can be any number of things that we've mentioned. Isn't that horrible? We look around, we see people who are enslaved to alcohol. We see people who are enslaved to pornography or drugs or whatever it might be. And it's just ruining their lives. And maybe you have family members who are in that sort of condition. And you see what's happening to them. That's a horrible sort of slavery. Any kind of addiction is. Sometimes we don't recognize those addictions in our own lives. We don't understand what's causing the problem. But we need to wake up and see that this sort of slavery is just ruining us, and it will ruin us in eternity as well. So there are people that are enslaved to material things. There are people that are enslaved to various addictions. There are people that are enslaved to fear. In Proverbs 29 and verse 25, there the wise man says that the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. So it will trap you, you know, when you're afraid of people. That is what that's saying. In Romans 8 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." As Christians, he's describing our life in Christ. And he said, as Christians, you know, we're not to live in fear. We're not to live in the bondage of fear. And particularly in that context, he's talking about the fear of punishment that comes through a law of sin without grace and faith. But be that as it may, we're not to live in that spirit of bondage to fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the apostle there writes that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear makes us into slaves in a number of ways, and probably the most common way is just through worry, through apprehension about our lives, about what's going on in the world. It could be about sickness. It could be about financial ruin, about what's going on in our family lives with our kids, so on and so forth. But we worry about things. We're afraid of things, and that just eats us up and ties us up and binds us and enslaves us. And there are a lot of people in this world that are slaves of worry. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. The Bible throughout encourages us to trust in God. Back in that verse in Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. You know, 90% of the things we worry about never happen. Probably more than 90% of the things we worry about never happen. Some of our fears are imaginary, and yet they paralyze us. They make it impossible for us to go forward and do anything productive in a given area. So although fear has its place, and I think we need to understand that in the sense that there are things that are dangerous, and we need to respect that. We need to take some caution. You know, electricity is really dangerous, okay? Electricity is really dangerous. And so if you're messing around with things that have electricity in them, you need to have a little bit of caution. Don't probably not wise to use your hair dryer in the bathtub. You know, there's just some things that are common sense that we need to take caution about. When you talk about power tools, power equipment, there's a lot of good that can be done with power equipment, but you need to take some precautions. You need to make sure that you're safe. So people are afraid of things that can actually harm them, and some amount of that is good. Just take reasonable precautions not to be harmed, and I think that applies to a whole lot of things in life, including this current virus that we're living through and a number of other things. But regardless, there are things that we need to have understand that they can hurt us and take reasonable precautions about that. But we don't live our lives in fear. We don't stop using electricity because, you know, the it could hurt us. You know, there's all kinds of things. I'm sitting in this studio here at WVNN, and there's all kinds of electrical things surrounding me at this point. I'm not afraid of those, but I wouldn't want to cut into one of the wires. You know, just take precautions. We need to understand that fear can paralyze us. If we're going to fear something, we need to fear God. He is the one, as Jesus says, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We don't need to be afraid of men. We need to fear and respect God and make sure that we are pleasing Him in our lives. But other things can enslave us too. Among those are things like bitterness. You ever known somebody to be enslaved by bitterness? The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 8, he and John were in Samaria, and they had gone up there to preach the gospel. They were laying their hands on people, and when they did that, the people could receive the miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And there was a man who'd been a sorcerer, who a lot of people had paid attention to, thought he had some kind of special power. But when Peter and John came up, and when everybody saw the miracles that they were doing and that Philip the evangelist was doing, they were amazed by that. They knew that was the true power of God. And so you have this man, Simon the sorcerer, and he was baptized. He became a Christian, but he apparently was still a bit bitter about losing his power over people, about everybody not respecting him anymore as the one who had this special power, as he used to amaze people with his sorcery. And so he offered Peter and John money to buy this gift of the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him in Acts 8 and verse 20, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Those are strong words coming from Peter. What was Simon the sorcerer's problem? He was poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Iniquity is sin, and here's the sin of bitterness that had just eaten this man up, so much so that he committed further sin by trying to buy a gift of the Holy Spirit with money. Simon's heart was poisoned by this bitterness. That was the root problem. Simon was a man who was held captive by his corrupt heart. His actions were really only symptoms of that. Much of our bondage, our spiritual bondage, is symptomatic of other problems that we have within us. In Ephesians chapter four, in verse 26, the Apostle Paul there says, In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold, neither give place to the devil. When we let anger simmer within us, we're giving Satan a place to bind up our heart and thus to enslave our lives. When we let bitterness set in, we're giving him a chance to be our master. And folks, we need to guard against that. But you know, something else that can enslave us and that often does in the world today is human traditions, especially when it comes to religious matters. The Apostle Paul warns about this in Colossians chapter 2. He says in verse 1, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." So he's warning them about being deceived by stuff that sounds good, but it's really not right. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that in the world today, stuff that sounds good, but it's not right. And so he goes on and tells them in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." That's the New International Version of that passage. And what Paul is warning us about is to be careful that we're not deceived and enslaved by human traditions. I think in the religious world, there are a lot of folks that need to look at this. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years. If you ask them about their religious beliefs and practices, they say, well, you know, my parents, my grandparents, my great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, I'm sorry, were this or that religion, and so that's what I am. And that's the answer that they'll give you. I am what I am because, you know, that's what my parents and grandparents were. Now, or they'll say, if I ask them about a certain practice or a certain belief, they'll say, well, that's the way we've always done it. Or that's what I've always believed. Well, that's not an answer. All you're telling me there is that you've accepted a tradition. And we're warned about accepting traditions that don't come from God's word. There are a lot of traditions in the world and in the religious world that are made up by men that you couldn't find in the word of God at all. Not even a hint of some of them. And yet people have adopted them into their religions. And are deceived sometimes, many times perhaps, by those traditions. It's what they've always done. It's what their forefathers have done, but it's not truth. We're warned about accepting traditions that are based on human philosophy, human thinking, rather than on Christ. So we need to be suspicious when someone binds a doctrine that is based on human reasoning and not supported by Scripture. We need to be suspicious and concerned about that. So this morning, what we've done is we've just talked about a lot of different ways that we can be enslaved. And there are more than these, I think, that we could point out. Slavery is a bad thing. And spiritual slavery is the worst. Slavery of the soul ruins your life, ruins your eternity. What's the solution to all of that? In John 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here's the thing the world needs today. It needs the truth. It needs the truth of God's word. You know, the Bible doesn't use the word truth in any kind of a subjective way. I hear people today talk about my truth and your truth. In a biblical sense, there's no such thing, because truth from God is absolute. Jesus is absolute. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said before, as he stood before Pilate in John 18, I've come to bear witness of the truth. And Pilate, in a rather snide, sarcastic remark, says to him, "Well, what is truth?" And there is truth right there standing before him, objectively, in the person of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus is absolute truth. And it's what's going to set us free from the lies of the devil. See, the devil lies. He tells you that material things are what going to make your life great, and you need to just desire and covet material things. The devil lies. He tells you that sexual pleasure is what life is all about, or that this drug is going to make that's going to make you feel better is the answer to your problems, or alcohol is the answer to your problems. The devil lies. The devil lies. The devil lies about religious teaching. He'll tell you, you know, you don't have to do this to be saved. You don't have to do that to be saved. You're allowed to do this, whatever. He'll tell you all sorts of things that truth doesn't say. And then we go around saying, well, I've got my truth and you've got your truth. No, we don't. There's only one truth. It belongs to Jesus. And if we're not doing as Jesus has asked us to do, and if we're not believing what he's asked us to believe, we don't have the truth. So what we want to do this morning is point you to the truth. We encourage you to study your Bible. God's word is truth, John 17, verse 17 says. We want you to do that with us at Eastside. Come be with us this morning to do that in Bible classes. You can go online to our website and sign up for a free Bible correspondence course. You can study the Bible through the mail or over the internet, either one. Just go to eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the study at home banner and sign up for a Bible correspondence course. Let's start learning what the truth is. One of those Bible correspondence courses entitled Jesus the Way, and it talks about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Wouldn't you like to study that instead of listening to all of the lies that Satan is propagating in this world? Well, we thank you again for tuning in this morning and hope your morning goes really, really well. Strive as you live in the world this week to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.